Good afternoon. Welcome to Bob Enyart Live. I'm Steve Curtis, guest hosting today for Bob. I'm going to invite your phone calls today, 1-800-836-9278, 800-8-ENYART, if you'd like to join the conversation. In studio with me are the Double Mint Twins, Leslie and Lolita Hanks. They're doing their nails, so if I pass out and there's dead silence here, you know the fumes have gotten to me. On the line, Jim Anderson, my cohort with LifeCommercials.com. We're going to open up a little discussion today. This comes from some of the flack that some of us have taken, not only over the last couple of weeks with the entire Bob Schaefer fiasco, but fiasco for Bob, not for us. But also, anybody that is a staunch, dyed-in-the-wool pro-lifer, hangs around Republicans, get this a lot. That you absolutely have to support the party because, as Brian Rohrbaugh says, the Republicans sell fear. And we all know that the Democrat, no matter who he or she is always worse than the Republican. That's what we're told anyway. So the question is voting for the lesser of two evils a good idea? And joining me on the line is Jim Anderson. Jim, you're going to take the you're going to play the part today of the devil's advocate, an advocate of the devil.
Well, Steve, I don't know that I like to be framed as an advocate of the devil, although I suppose my history would demonstrate in certain instances that you might have a case there. But yes, we'll have a little bit of fun with this.
Well,
how would you like to begin?
Well, let me just ask you, in general, voting for the lesser of two evils. Take a real-life example this year. We know that whoever the nominee or the next president of the United States is, barring some act of God, will be somebody that believes in abortion rights, whether it's Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, or John McCain, who has at least a half a dozen different forms of abortion that he believes are acceptable, believes in stem cell research. He's, of course, got the three main ones that President Bush has. It's okay to kill a baby conceived in rape. It's okay to kill a baby conceived in an act of incest. Okay to kill a baby if the life of the mother is at risk. So John McCain has a number of different things. He supports stem cell research, gets a lot of money from Republicans for Choice. They absolutely love him. Is it a good idea to vote for John McCain as a Christian?
Well, Steve, let's step back for just a moment and look at the essence of what the debate is and what we're probably going to begin to wrestle over. To begin, regardless of which side of the political continuum one chooses, whether it's left or right, a primary principle that should always be emphasized is that voters need to be informed on the actual platforms and positions of the candidates versus listening to overwhelming character assassinations, which often dominate the debate. For example, you're already indicting John McCain. Now, the core of the debate I think we ought to be looking at is, should we throw away a vote and not vote, or should we protest by voting for somebody who's simply not going to win? When you do that, in essence, what happens too often is that uninformed voters wind up dominating the polls, and their candidate usually wins.
And so if I'm hearing your premise right, when people elected Jimmy Carter, for example, in 1976, they did that based on the fact that they were informed or uninformed?
I'm not talking about Jimmy Carter. I'm talking about the here and now and the fact that if, first and foremost, the parties actually want people to become informed on the real positions and what their candidate actually represents, and then vote based upon that, we're probably going to get the better of the two candidates if our polls are dominated by people who are informed, regardless of who the candidate is.
Okay, so let's take the real life present day scenario. Let's assume, for the sake of this argument, that the race comes down to Barack Obama versus John McCain. Tell me where I'm wrong by saying I cannot vote for either one of these men based on the fact that I am fully informed on both of their positions on abortion.
Well, I can't tell you that you shouldn't vote. I can tell you this, though, that you
did
you are,
did you not say that I would be just throwing away my vote?
Well, you are somebody who is informed. And the fact of the matter is that when you frame the debate as the lesser of two evils, you're really ignoring at the same time that you are simultaneously voting for the better of two candidates. And let's face it, there is no perfect candidate. There are always candidates. Every candidate has inadequacies or shortcomings. So when you say,
Jim, if this is an end around that you're trying to get me to run for president so that there will be a well, perfect candidate,
Steve,
I've told you repeatedly
the past,
answer is no, I can't
sure.
do it. I don't have the time to be president yeah. and host Bob's radio show at the same time.
If elected, you will not serve.
That's right.
Well, you know, I think the most important thing that we do not want to ignore, though, is this, that regardless, there is no perfect candidate. And when you take your ball and go home and refuse to vote, you're leaving the arena open to those people who are far more dominated by either lack of rational information or emotion. And let's face it, when people voted for Ross Perot in the 1992 election, he effectively siphoned off enough of the conservative vote to give us Bill Clinton.
Okay, and we survived that, did we not?
Well,
or is the jury still out on that?
That's a whole other issue. There were some that maintained that we didn't do very well as a result of having Bill Clinton in office, but that's another debate.
Okay, so what your basic premise is that it is okay to vote for the lesser of two evils because the alternative would, of course, be the worst candidate, the worst thing for the nation, correct?
Well, for the people that advocate that position, and since I'm devil's advocate here today, I will say it is better to vote for the better of the two candidates, and I would frame it that way, versus the lesser of two evils.
Wouldn't it make more sense to use your vote, which is your political currency, to put the strain on the various parties to bring a better candidate forward?
Tell me a little bit more about what you're getting at.
Well, what I'm getting at is, I mean, the Republican Party did not have to be in the position it's in, but because the Republican Party has, over the period of the last two decades at least, begun to fall off from its conservative, moral, more traditional, more Christian-friendly roots, let's say where it was back during Reagan's days.
Because, well, I don't think anyone could debate that with
okay,
you.
Okay, so let's using that as a premise, wouldn't it make more sense to withhold our political currency and not reward the party for having fallen away and leave it out there as a carrot? Say, look, when you come back to my values, you will once again earn my currency.
I think there is absolute concrete value in that. However, the reality of it is that when we have two candidates right now, the same as we did in 1992, one of them that is decidedly different than the other, and you don't vote, you're basically allowing the candidate to win who will sway more by emotion and more by the uninformed voter.
What if I don't adhere to that argument and I go out and I do find a third-party candidate that more accurately reflects my not only my conservative moral view, but also my conservative fiscal view, my Christian view, including the right to life? What if I find such a candidate and I can cast a vote for that person? Wouldn't I be punishing that candidate by taking this lesser of two evils approach and not rewarding him for having the courage to stand up and do the right thing and to say the right thing and to advocate the right thing if I go along and say, but, you know, I'd like to vote for you. You really represent everything that I believe in and everything I believe to be right, but I'm not going to vote for you because it really comes down to these other two people. How would we ever expect to be in a better position than the one that we are in today when we know, just as we did back in 1992, that no matter who the president-elect was, it was going to be a pro-abort candidate?
Well, you know, abortion is a whole separate issue. And what I'm staying
how is it a separate issue?
Well,
if it's one of the issues that I'm making my decision on, mm-hmm. and let's say it's the primary one.
Yes.
Okay. How can you then separate it?
Because I'm not debating the correctness of a pro-life candidate here. What we're really talking about is when you have two candidates, one that is definitely going to be elected, and you refuse to vote for either, you are leaving the consequence of who will be elected up to a vast majority of people who are not well-informed.
Well, or maybe they are well-informed, and that's just one of the things they've already made up their mind on.
You know, well, that could be true.
I mean, would you agree with me that the average person in the United States today doesn't really care about abortion, just doesn't care that it happens every 20 seconds, round the clock, every day of every month of every year?
Well, there's no question about that at all.
Okay, so if we're not making the decision then based on those issues that are important to us, why would we even bother to make a decision?
Because I don't think we're going to solve the abortion issue through political strategies and channels.
But we certainly can make it worse, can't we? Can we certainly make it worse if we reward both parties for taking what essentially are pro-abortion views?
Yeah, how could it be any worse than it is right now? Look at the Supreme Court appointments over the last 20 years. Why don't you say a little bit about that to our audience?
Well, you just made my point, because we have rewarded both parties over the last 20 years, not only with control of the House and the Senate, but also with the presidency. I mean, both parties have split that in the last 20 years. And so we have rewarded both parties for essentially having the same view of abortion. What would happen? Let me flip it around a little bit. What would happen if let's say 12 million Christians in this country, 12 million Christians, and certainly there have got to be 12 million Christians in this country. I don't know. Maybe that's a really high number. I mean, I know 88% of people say they're Christian, but
yeah.
You know, if it were 5%,
right.
You know, that might be a pretty good guess. But
okay.
let's say, for example, that 10 or 12 million Christians just decided to really vote their faith,
mm-hmm.
really vote their faith and say, mm-hmm. you know what, I will not support, as James Dobson said, I will not cast a vote for a candidate that would allow the killing of even a single child.
Mm-hmm.
If 12 million Christians did that and literally voted their faith in a block, you don't think that we could change this?
I don't know, but I'm going to go back to your point that you made a moment ago when you said, well, Jim, you made my point by the fact that even though Republicans were in office, the appointees on the Supreme Court made no difference. But that makes my point, saying that you will not solve the issue on abortion through political strategies.
Well,
so
sir,
back to the central issue, we've got two candidates. One of them is definitely going to be elected president of the United States. When people take a well-intended philosophical strategy, which is what I think you're doing, and say, I refuse to vote for either one of them because they're both untenable, in essence what happens is then we pretty much ensure that the candidate that will probably be the lesser of the two will be elected.
Let's say that all things on these two candidates were exactly equal, okay? They were the same place on welfare, the same place on education, the same place on national defense, the same place on taxes. One candidate said, I will cap abortion at 5 million babies a year. And the other one says, I will cap abortion at 4,999,999, one less each year. Would you vote for that candidate?
But see, that kind of analogy is just it's a pretzel logic and a philosophical debate that isn't what's really going on right now. What's really happening right now is we have two candidates.
Oh, I beg to differ.
Why?
How is it different? How is it different when we're not making any headway through political channels to slow down the rate of abortion in this country? How would it make any difference?
Well, again, I'm going to have to go back to the position that we're not going to solve the abortion issue through political strategies.
Is it in your view, or the view of those that you are representing quite admirably here today, I must say, Is it?
But I'm only a devil's advocate.
That's right. Advocating for Satan himself, yep. You're doing a very good job. You must have had a lot of practice in your checkered past.
Yep.
But is it in your view? Is it ever right to take a single issue and say, no matter how that person is on everything else, there's just something about that one issue that would cause me to withhold my vote from this person, that person, or both?
You know what? What's right is what's defined in a person's mind is right.
So there's not a biblical standard.
Okay. I think I got a reaction out of Leslie with that. You know where we all are on that.
I know.
The fact of the matter is, I'm going to have to keep coming back to the position that when you take your ball and go home and refuse to vote in an election where one of these two
persons. Hey, Jim. Okay, I am so tired of the Republican playground analogy about taking the ball and going home.
Oh, okay.
It's tiring.
Oh,
you know,
right.
It's tired, man. This was worn out about 10 years ago.
All right.
You know, I mean, okay, let me ask you that, because you've made that point a couple of times. By what authority do you or the Republican Party or the head of a Christian ministry / Republican Christian kind of, that whole complex of this Republican form of Christianity that not only the Christian faith is suffering greatly from today, but our nation is suffering from, because people are not making informed decisions. They have begun to believe that voting Republican is somehow godlike or Christlike or pure, regardless of what these people believe and what these people actually do when they get into office, what they tend to ignore, what they tend to overlook, what they tend to vote for, these kinds of things. I mean, that in my view is what's really hurting the country. And these people believe they're informed. It's just where they're getting their information. But that analogy that somehow voting Republican is something that God would want you to do, because the Republican is not necessarily, in some instances, as bad as the Democrat. I guess I just have to reject that and ask, by what authority does somebody from a pseudo-Christian ministry that is more political than Christian, or somebody that is a dyed-in-the-wool Republican, by what authority do they have to say that to me or to you or to anyone else?
Okay, well, where you're going with all of that, first, we will digress for a moment. The fact of the matter is, I am not a proponent of the Republican Party in this debate. I am a proponent of people being well-informed and going to the polls and voting. We're going to have one of two candidates. You can either decide to vote for one of those two candidates, or you can cast your vote outside that sphere. The position I'm going to take is that one of two candidates will be chosen. It is better to vote for the candidate who you believe and know through your research or your looking into their backgrounds or whatever is the better candidate, and that's the position I'm proposing.
Okay. Now that you've got yourself hoisted up on the hook there, let me give you the opportunity to get down. Okay.
All right.
You know where John McCain stands on various issues of human life, because I pointed them out to you at the top of the show.
Yeah, and okay. I'm not a proponent of John McCain.
I know.
But I'm going to have to vote for either one of these two candidates.
And so that was my question. Will you vote? Will you actually in November? And you can choose not to answer this if you want. But will you vote in November if it comes down to, you know, John McCain or Hillary or John and Barack, and it'll be either one of those two combinations? Will you vote for John McCain?
What I will do in November is see who the candidates are, number one, and number two, look into their backgrounds and determine which candidate will actually do more to serve the positive cause for this country.
And you'll actually do that.
If those are your only two choices,
you will absolutely vote for one of those combinations.
I'll vote for the best candidate that I see between the two top candidates.
Excuse me while I vomit here. Let me throw out the phone number here. It's 1-800-8-NYART. That's 800-836 800-848-9278. Got a guy named Bob. Is that Bob Enyart? Yeah, we're not going to take calls from Bob Enyart today on the Steve Curtis Live Show. Is this Bob Enyart?
Hi, Steve Curtis. Hey, Jim Anderson. Thanks, guys.
And I've got the Double Mitt Twins in here with me, Leslie and Lolita.
Yeah, I know that they're going to be recording a show for next week while we're out getting petition signatures.
That's right. And so where are you this afternoon, Bob?
Well, we were at the courthouse for hours. By the way, Jo Scott was on trial down there. Actually, her trial is postponed, I think, till June 18th for walking within 8 feet of women going into Planned Parenthood to have an abortion. And we have a law in Colorado. You have to stay 8 feet away. And she could go to jail for a couple years if she's convicted. Please pray for Jo Scott and her attorney, Jim Rouse. And when that trial's coming up, we'll let people know and invite people to come down.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And we can, you know, we have Bill Owens and Diana DeGette, I believe, to thank for that ridiculous bubble law here in Colorado. So,
that's a great point. And pro-life politicians typically stab those who try to save the unborn children in the back, showing their true colors that as Republican pro-lifers, they got a lot more in common with pro-aborts and Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate. Where are you this afternoon, Bob?
Well, we are going to a King Soopers to get signatures now. And Steve, then at 6 o'clock at Coors Field for the Rockies game. And we'll also be there for tomorrow's Rockies game and then Sunday's. And so please call Colorado Right to Life, the blank petition. Come on out and see somebody at a Rockies game to sign a petition. And, Steve, I have one question for that devil's advocate you got on the line.
The advocate of Satan himself, okay.
Yeah, that Jim Anderson character.
he's a good sport for doing this, you know.
Oh, he's
because,
the best.
Because he, I
he's
wouldn't.
He's a co-founder of Life Commercials, and we love Jim. But here's the question. If you're not going to draw the line at God's command, do not murder, well, where are you going to draw the line for refusing to vote for some politician?
There
you
go.
That's my question.
Okay, and we'll ask.
Thanks, guys.
We'll ask you. Okay, thanks a lot, Bob. And now bringing Jim Anderson back on the line. Jim, are you with us?
May I respond to that question?
Yes, you may. Go ahead.
All right, happy to do so. There's absolutely no doubt here that when it comes to pro-life, all of us are on this call, and even being in the devil's advocate position, we are for life and supporting life. But I really think we're talking about two different things here. When you try to take this issue into the political domain and solve it through the political domain, you're not going to do it.
Well, I would agree with that, but that's only because of the sad state of affairs that mankind is in. I mean, there is a scenario in a much better world where people did care about God's enduring commands rather than, what's convenient to someone or how somebody, some industry can make billions of dollars by killing other people. There is that scenario that in that world, we could take God's command and we could live on that and we would actually be able to solve it politically, even though we're making those political judgments on morality.
That would be nice in an ideal world, but being devil's advocate here, let's face it. The fact of the matter is that this particular issue, or any moral issue, no matter where you stand on it, typically is not solved through the political arena. In fact, I would maintain that politicians do more to undermine the moral fabric and everything else attending these issues or any other issue, whether it's on education, whether it's on our borders or anything else, they do more to contribute to the problem than solve the problem.
Well, there's no doubt in my mind that, and we were getting to this point earlier when we were talking about voting for certain types of politicians,
mm-hmm.
that they have done so much to damage the pro-life cause, and the pro-life industry has been very complicit in that. When National Right to Life got so cozy with the Republican Party that they were willing to look the other way and give these high ratings to Republican pro-abortion politicians from the National Right to Life Committee, and the Republican Party was willing to reciprocate with millions of dollars in revenues to National Right to Life. That unholy alliance that was formed there, I would say, has done as much to damage this as the Roe v. Wade decision itself.
You know, to offer myself up to be hoisted higher on the petard, I do not want to sidestep Bob's question. Bob's question was, then, was I going to go to the polls and vote this fall, and would I vote for somebody that would not uphold God's law? I believe that was the essence of his question, unless you would correct me.
No, that's it. That's the essence.
Okay. The fact of the matter is, when we look at the whole political domain and the whole political arena, we are still forced with one reality. We must either vote or not vote. By not voting, we are ignoring our responsibility to vote for the better of the two candidates.
And breaking God's commandment of do not murder. Now,
where would you rather be then? Are you saying that God would command that we do not vote?
If your only choices of voting were to vote for people that would break God's commandments, yeah, I would say so.
I think you're stretching the argument a little bit there, because in essence, one of those two candidates is going to be elected. I'm not a biblical scholar, as you know. In fact, you are much better on chapter and verse than me. But the fact of the matter is, you do know in the New Testament that it does make the case that you do provide, or you do accept who is in rule. And as a responsible citizen, you try to do the best regardless of who is the ruling class.
Well, and there's a little bit of debate about what that passage means.
Another program for us.
Well, yeah, and we're down to under a minute here. And Jim, I just want to say that I appreciate you coming on, spending half an hour advocating positions that I'm going to pray tonight that you don't really believe most of these. And that when it comes to November, I would encourage you to go out and vote, if for no other reason, because personhood is going to be on the ballot in Colorado, and that gives you something godly to vote for. I don't know that you're going to have the opportunity to vote for a godly person for president of the United States, and I would encourage you and everyone else that's listening to really search the scriptures when you size up these people. Find out what they stand for and whether or not they are going to be the kind of leader that God would want. And if not, then don't feel obligated to vote for them. So this is Steve Curtis signing off for Bob Enyart. Remember, Maranatha Christian School is a wonderful place in Arvada. Maranatha.
Bob's brother, Brian Enyart, has moved his home remodeling business, Fancy Schmancy Renovations, to Colorado. You can call Brian to improve the look and value of your home and support Bob Enyart Live at the same time. Brian has nearly 30 years of experience beautifying homes, so whether you're in the market for a new kitchen, a bathroom makeover, or a new front door, you'll be pleased with the results and happy to know that 95% of the proceeds will go directly to Brian's wife, Jennifer. Hey, that's me! And 5% of the proceeds will go to support Bob Enyart Live. So call Fancy Schmancy Renovations at 720-641-7033. That's 720-641-7033. Or visit us on the web at fancyschmancyrenovations.com.